Flames at 5:10 with Ryan Pinder here on Sportsnet 960 Fan. Okay, we got a little late. We have to do our NFL power rankings. A huge apology immediately sent to the state of California and one Jonathan Davis, who joins us in his weekly Wednesday slot. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great. I hear you're thirsty, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, you're reading my tweets, aren't you?
I sure am, pal.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lovely little group of people called Alberta Beer Festivals. And so anytime they post something, I salivate and send them messages to please somehow involve me in these free beer events. But no luck yet.
I
keep pressing.
You.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate
you.
That.
I know you do a great job.
Well, thank you. Drinking beer is one of my greatest strengths in life. The radio thing, middle of the road, but the beer drinking's quite superb. Let's look back on a week. We are a week into the season. My goodness, it's crazy. The Oilers have played once. The Leafs have already won the Cup. So much has happened. This is incredible.
My God, I didn't realize they'd won the Cup. I mean, I had heard rumblings to that effect. It has, you know, it's been just a phenomenal week. You know, look, for you guys in Calgary, last night's win in Nashville was a significant win, a big win for the Flames to win in that building, no question about it. What we saw in Toronto and Chicago on Sunday night was just one of the more exciting games. I don't care, you know, I don't care what team you're a fan of. That was just phenomenal. And to see the personality of Austin Matthews come through, you know, I thought that was great. Didn't think that was something that he had in him. But hey, we saw lots of goals in the NHL. And if you like offense, well, week one was definitely a treat.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of talk about goals are up, goals are up, goals are up. Well, except if you look at the first week of last year, then goals are about the same. This is typically how seasons start. Teams come out ablaze, and then the defensive systems tighten up a little bit, and you can game plan a little more on film. You can see a few power plays of the team you're playing. So it's fun. It's great. I just think people better not be holding their breath for this 6-plus goals a game that we're seeing tonight.
Yeah, but enjoy it while it's there. I mean,
sure.
You know, so
yeah.
You're right. I mean, look, but now, hey, we're here in Los Angeles, and you know, we're not seeing goals, so we're pretty much the status quo.
Yeah.
But you know, like yeah, you know, in a lot of other places, offense is aplenty, and if you're in Arizona, well, you're still looking for your first goal.
They have not scored, and if there was a team that would certainly have been aware of what a slow start can do to you, it would be the Arizona Coyotes. And yet, 0-for-2 without a goal. They're a better team than this, clearly. It's just two games. You'll find lots of teams that go through two-game stretches where they look miserable. But you've got to think, pressure's ratcheting up quickly there because everyone around that team knows how devastating a bad October can be.
Yeah, I don't know if the sphincter's very tight yet, but... Yes, you're right. I mean, I just don't think that this is definitely not a team after what they went through last year that wants to go through 0-10-1. So not only just a goal do they need, they need a victory. There is no question about it. They, you know, in Anaheim tonight, a team that they one of the two teams that they got blanked by earlier this season, and in that game in Arizona, I mean, it was the John Gibson show, like it's been for Anaheim so far in their three games. So they definitely have plenty of opportunity to beat John Gibson. And so, you know, they'll try to find a way to do it tonight. But there's no question that, you know, until they get that victory, there has to be thoughts in the back of their mind of, oh, man, oh, whoa, here we go again.
I play fantasy hockey, and A, nobody cares, and B, no one should care. But I will say this. It does allow you to pay more attention to players that aren't in your market or in your division or guys that maybe aren't you didn't know about, but all of a sudden you're out there grinding on the wire trying to find players. I was a guy that did say, okay, I'm buying John Gibson and I'm drafting him rather early. He's been sensational, and they've been throwing out lineups where I don't think the casual hockey fan in the East would be able to name or recognize half the guys in their forward ranks. I mean, they've literally got a full AHL line plus a bunch of rookies going, and they're still being, they're what, 3-0-1 with John Gibson just being sensational. He's been their best player by a mile in every game, is he not?
Yeah, he sure has, Ryan. And, you know, if you look back at their game against Detroit a couple of nights ago, Rickard Rakell had Sam Steele in the middle and Troy Terry on the other side. I don't think that's exactly what he signed up for when the season started, but that's what he was left with. Now, today at the, I believe it was today at the skate or yesterday at the practice, Ryan Kesler was back on the ice taking line rushes with Andrew Cogliano. So I can't see him being in there. I mean, he hasn't been cleared for contact drill, so it would be a little surprising. But there's no question, yes, with Ryan Getzlaff on the mend and Patrick Eaves on the mend and Corey Perry on the mend, you know, what it's done is it's allowed for young kids to get an opportunity. And, you know, in Anaheim, there's been a lot of talk, hey, this team's getting old. Well, they suddenly got a lot younger to start the season, and the team's been able to come away with victories. And, hey, you know, you never win in that Stanley Cup or playoffs in October, but for an Anaheim team that has notoriously struggled, these are significant wins for them.
Yeah, no question. The other greater LA city, you alluded to it, the Kings have a tough time scoring goals. That was the old news. They went and spent a lot of money on a guy that's been out of the league for a long time playing in Russia, in Ilya Kovalchuk. He did get a goal, but it's the same old Kings in the sense that goal scoring looks like it's the major issue early on. Fair?
Well, yeah, no, it's fair. And I think that, you know, look, last night, you know, to see them lose in Winnipeg and necessarily to see them lose 2-1, not much of a shock. I mean, they, you know, look, not here making excuses. They faced a Winnipeg team that got embarrassed in Dallas in the game prior. Here they are coming home for their home opener. So I'm not surprised that the Kings got one of Winnipeg's better performances on the year. And, you know, at one point, I think the shots were like 30-8 in Winnipeg's favor. They got a little closer as the game went on. I don't think the Kings cracked the 20-shot plateau, and they haven't hit the 30-shot plateau to start the season. But conversely, they're not giving up goals. And, so it's still in many ways the same old Kings. They really miss Dustin Brown, especially on the power play. Their power play has been absolutely atrocious to start the season. This is a guy that led the team in power play goals last year with 9. And they really miss him being parked in front of the net, and they're trying some different things. But right now, yeah, the offense is struggling. You know, I mean, they're getting production from their top line. Kopitar's got a couple. Kovalchuk, you know, got a goal, 2 assists. Alex Iafallo's got 2 goals, and he only had 9 last year. So they're getting scoring from the top line, but they're still struggling with that second line, with Carter Pearson and Toffoli, although I think Toffoli does have 1 goal on the year.
Let us move to San Jose. I continue to look at the box scores, stunned that neither Carlson nor Brent Burns has really hit stride yet. Now, Burns got off to a slow start last year. Carlson's adjusting to a new environment. They haven't quite figured out all the how this is going to work on the man advantage together. But if you told me Mark-Edward Vlasic through a week was going to be their leading point getter on the blue line tied with Carlson, I'd say that's probably an issue. And they're just 2-2. What have you seen from them? Because they just seem out of sorts right now. I still think they're going to be very good. This isn't a fatal flaw, but it has not been smooth sailing to start.
No, I think out of sorts is a great way to put it, Ryan. I mean, I was there opening night in San Jose. I saw them 2 nights later in Los Angeles. I watched their other 2 games against the Islanders, and then again the last night in Philadelphia when the offense finally came to life. Evander Kane has been the big, you know, the one bright spot in every game for them. He has scored highlight reel goals. He had 2 more last night. Pete DeBoer reunited Kane with Joe Pavelski last night, and that seemed to get them going. That line scored their number one power play unit, which has really struggled. But the big problem that they're having on the power play, Ryan, is that, you know, you've got 2 right-handed shots in Burns and Carlson. Both guys like to be positioned in the same place, and it's a work in progress. They did that. Their top unit did get a power play goal late in the game, and it was something that Joe Pavelski talked about afterwards and how important that was for them to just try to get some sort of chemistry going. So look, the early season is definitely a feeling out process. And the other thing is that, you know, look, Joe Thornton is out. You know, they say it's not anything serious, but, you know, this is the one concern. I think we've talked about it before that I had with this Sharks team coming into the year, and is that, you know, they've got some trouble down the middle. Now, Joe Pavelski can easily switch to center. It wasn't Pete DeBoer's first choice. And Logan Couture has also been really good. He had 2 goals last night, and, you know, that gives you a solid number 2 center. So if they're committed to going with Joe Pavelski as their number one, and Couture at number two, and then they actually eventually move Thornton down to three. I think that that puts them in a better position, to be honest with you. Don't know if Pete DeBoer will do that once Joe is healthy, but I think that would be what this team needs. And then I would expect sooner than later that they get things going on the power play with Burns and Carlson, because I mean, the one way I think it would work best, it's just, I don't believe it would happen, is that they would split them apart and have them on two separate units. But I don't think either one of those guys wants to spend any time on that number two power play unit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I feel like, boy, a lot of power plays, both units get out there. It feels like a slight, but it really isn't when you look at the ice time. It's not going to be that much different. You can start them at different times. You could have a 1A, 1B, don't even number them. But if you split that talent in half, I still like both those units. We'll see, but certainly it's early going, and it's the right kind of problems to have. Too many star players. Let's go to Vegas, where Marc-Andre Fleury has looked like the guy with the plus three goals against average of two seasons ago in Pittsburgh, not like the Vezina-caliber guy that they had when he was healthy in Vegas last year.
Well, I think that, you know, one problem that Vegas is having is they really miss Nate Schmidt. The impact that he has on that blue line, I think, is insignificant. And what's happened is that John Merrill and Nick Holden become that third pair, and they've been an absolute dumpster fire. So now with those two guys playing together, it really puts this Vegas team, I think, in a bit of a predicament. You know, Gerard Gallant's got to try to find a way to either maybe split them up, which I don't think he wants to do, and upset his other pairs. But that's one thing that has really hurt this team, that third pairing for the Golden Knights.
Marchessault's been good, but I do wonder. This group was built on belief and a chip on the shoulder. The chip can't be there anymore when you get to the conference final, I would argue. And I wonder what this group looks like when the belief wavers. It's still very early, but this is a fascinating team for me because no one had them pegged last year, and everyone thinks they have them pegged this year, right?
Well, I agree with you. And Marchessault talked about it after the Buffalo game. We have to stop talking about last year. You know, this is a new season, and we're starting afresh. And I like the fact that there are new faces in there with Stastny and Max Pacioretty. And Pacioretty had the big tying goal in that game in Minnesota, where I thought they really outplayed the Wild and didn't end up tying the game until like 90 seconds left, and then won it in the shootout. But you're right. There's no chip on the shoulder. That you're not going to work that mantra into things this year. This team is going to have to figure it out. It's still a really talented team, and I think things can be a lot different once Nate Schmidt returns and everyone gets better slotted, and you're not having Merrill and Holden together on that third pair.
Okay, thoughts in Western Canada. What intrigues you? You mentioned right off the top, knowing you're on air in Calgary, that that's a whale of a win in Nashville last night. The Preds had not been shut out on home ice all of last year. They do so on a night where they somehow found a way to fabricate three banners for a year they didn't get to the Western Conference Final.
The Flames power play. I mean, I watched that game against Vancouver, and there are two things that stood out for me. One, how potent it was, and, you know, the cross-ice passing that they were able to, you know, Johnny Gaudreau had just a beautiful passing to set it. Was it Tkachuk? But the way they move the puck around so well, and the fact that Elias Lindholm has flourished on the power play, and James Neal has not been the guy out there, which is why I thought that he was brought in. But Bill Peters has done a really good job of being able to structure this power play and make it such a weapon. And it was a weapon again last night. That's one thing for Calgary that has really stood out to me. Don't take a penalty against this team, because in the early returns, they're making well, at least Vancouver and Nashville pay.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, you're absolutely right. It's looked deadly the last two games. They were 0-for-7 their first game. I mean, it's right. That even underlines, yeah. If the percentage impresses you, factor in an 0-for-7 on opening night, and it should be even more dangerous. And that's why they brought Jeff Ward in, someone to help out on this power play. I'm sure Bill Peters has a lot of influence on it as well, but certainly the new pieces working better than the old ones from last year. Only one game for the Oilers, over in Europe against the Devils, and the effort was not where they wanted it. That leads me to believe that Todd McClellan could be in trouble. You can work hard and lose, and I think they'll understand with that roster, but to not get an effort, especially when it's the Draisaitl homecoming, and this is a team that has to at least work well. They got a Lucic goal and they lost, Jonathan.
I know. You figured, hey, my God, when he scored that opening goal, you thought, hey, well, maybe this is a new season in Edmonton. And, it was much of the same. But, I really think that if they make a change, it will not just be the coach. It will be the GM. I think both of them will go. I really feel steadfastly on that. The way they lost against New Jersey in that opener was just it just brought back memories of last season, and that's something that this team needs to erase. Just like Arizona is trying to, erase an 0-2 start, this team needs to come up with a real A-plus performance in their next game and do the Oilers, or else we're going to start to have some of that same doubt that's going on in Arizona.
Yeah, fair enough. Finally, Vancouver, the last team we have yet to talk about in the Pacific Division. I've got two words, a first name and a last name, that stand out for me for the Canucks, and I'm sure it's the same for you.
Absolutely. And look, Duck Kid led them in ice time in their last game. That is something that just kind of tells you where this team is at. You know, Brock Besser looks like he is still dealing with some of the lingering effects of his injury from last season.
Yeah.
But watching Pettersson play, it's a real, real treat for sure.
Yeah, Elias Pettersson has been special, and now Elliot Friedman dropped in his 31 Thoughts today that there was a team out there that had him number one on their draft list. If I'm that team, I'm letting that be known, because that's some good PR. Not a lot of teams had him. No one else had him at one, I don't think. And what a start to the season for him. And it is a little scary on Besser. If he's not going to score and he's not even generating shots, that's really scary. If you're hitting posts and not scoring, I get it. But it does sound like, as you noted, he didn't have the offseason or training camp he wanted, recovering from injury. So he's not broken. He's still working his way back, might be the best way to describe it. Fair?
Absolutely. And while Brock Besser, I think, is trying to work his way back, Ryan, there's one guy I do want to mention that I think has worked his way back, and that's Jonathan Toews in Chicago. 5 goals to start the season. It was interesting talking to some people who know Toews really well. He went through a summer where he was the big thing for him. It was not so much getting faster physically. It was changing the attitude mentally. I think that, get the impression that he lost confidence in himself, lost the confidence to be an elite scorer. And that really changed. That was one thing that he really focused on in the summer. And people worked with him on just getting that belief back that he can be the player that he was not so long ago.